Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Beat Podcast. My name's Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Each week on the Fantasy Beat, I'm joined by NFL beat reporters to break down the biggest games of the week. On this week's show, I'm delighted to have as my guest Mike Ciardi of CSN New England. We'll be discussing the Patriots traveling to face the New Orleans Saints and looking at the key players and key matchups that we expect to decide this Week 2 contest. We'll be looking at how these teams did in Week 1, we'll be looking through the injury reports, and we'll also be working through the different position groups to see how these teams match up offensively and defensively. After I talk with Mike, I'll take a few minutes to recap what we discuss and use some of the RotoViz apps to dive a little bit deeper into the game for a fantasy football perspective. For those of you who don't know, RotoViz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and it has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. Go to rotoviz.com to check out the site. The Fantasy Football Beat is also brought to you by MyBookie, and I mentioned on last week's show as I made the debut of the Fantasy Football Beat that MyBookie is my preferred sportsbook. It is the one I use, and last week, thanks to MyBookie, I had an okay week in terms of football action. My fantasy football team has done very, very poorly, and that's putting it quite mildly, but on the other side, a few wagers that I had on went quite well for myself, and I mentioned on last week's show as well, I've used them for about now 18 months, and I'm sticking with them for the 2017 season. They have been fantastic. They're the only site I use. Their website is mybookie.ag. They have everything you need, fast payouts, in-game live betting, and an all-new mobile app, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. And those perks are very nice, and one of those perks is if you sign up using my code, ROTOBEAT, MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. All you have to do is use that code ROTOBEAT to activate the offer. And also for a limited time only with RotoViz, and if you sign up using my code ROTOBEAT, you can also email us the confirmation of your sign up, and then of course send it to rotovizradio@gmail.com. This will enter you in to a prize draw for an athletic pullover that we as RotoViz writers, as RotoViz contributors do get, but they are very, very hard to come by if you're not part of the team here at RotoViz. Really, really sweet merchandise that are being sent out to all the RotoViz contributors in the next couple of weeks. And with that, if you sign up, as I mentioned, prior to the end of September, send us over that confirmation email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and you'll be entered into that draw and you could win yourself some sweet, sweet RotoViz merchandise. For this game, the Patriots are favoured by 7 points. There's a minus 280 money line, plus 300 for the Saints. There's a 56-point over-under, one of the highest of this week's slate. And I'm leaning on the Pats. And as we talk about how the game's going to go in just a moment, I'm curious to see what Mike has to say about it. But I'm leaning very, very strongly on the Pats. I'll leave my official prediction until we get into the interview with Mike. So let's get into that right now. Delighted to be joined now on the podcast by Mike Ciardi of CSN New England. Mike is one of the best Patriots minds, in my opinion, going in the National Football League. When you're looking for Patriots news, Mike's usually the guy that I go to see. So, Mike, thanks for jumping aboard the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Obviously, the Patriots finished 8-0 on the road last season, and they'll be looking to continue that when they head to New Orleans this week. But both teams in this game coming off a Week 1 loss. The Saints fell to Minnesota 29-19, in which was just a really bad performance by the Saints overall. The Patriots lost at home to the Kansas City Chiefs in that season opener on Thursday Night Football. That was 42-27. So both teams coming off disappointing opening weeks of the season. There's so much to take away from both teams for the 2 weeks, but obviously we're talking about the New England Patriots from your perspective. What was the biggest takeaway from that Thursday Night Football loss in your opinion? Mine is probably looking at Julian Edelman, him missing for the season, and Malcolm Mitchell. People just kind of, with it being the Patriots, they say, well, the Patriots are going to move on and it's going to be all okay for the Patriots, but perhaps we underestimated how much the team would suffer just to bounce back straight away. Maybe they will adjust as the season now progresses, but such a short notice of that injury to try and adapt. But what was your biggest takeaway from that loss?
Yeah, I think clearly the offense in the sense that, 27 points is going to win you most weeks. But there was a lack of efficiency from that group, sort of a stop and start kind of nature to it that we're really not accustomed to. And especially once Amendola went down, trying to find that, Danny was having a good game, but it was predictable in the sense that his body just can't take that kind of punishment. And I was a little bit surprised they leaned on him as much as they did. Now you're likely going this week with only three healthy receivers, so they'll have their hands full a little bit. I think the other thing that surprised me was the defensive line getting just absolutely emasculated at points during the course of that game. And, I look at that area, and, we've talked a lot about the defensive end position with Ninkovich retiring and the Coney Ealy thing didn't work out. But I said to myself, that's something they're obviously going to have to fix. And they had Hightower lined up there for the first, into the third quarter before he got hurt. But I thought to myself, with Allen Branch, with Malcolm Brown, with Trey Flowers, I'm not really all that concerned. I think those guys will win their fair share of the battles physically up front. And I thought the fact is the Chiefs pushed them around a lot more than I expected. And that's one of those things where then you're getting to the second level. You're getting to, Van Noy in the middle. And that's not the way they want to play. Those guys have to two-gap better. They have to hold the ground better. And I think if they do, you'll see, a much better performance, certainly against the run than you did Thursday night.
Yeah, and obviously then when you look at that being a big takeaway, and that's another area that I thought was, they're going to have to improve on as it goes on. What do you think, though, is the week one's biggest overreaction in terms of the Patriots? People like to overreact when it comes to seeing even certain parts of games. We think back to the Super Bowl when the Patriots looked like they were in huge, huge trouble to come back and win it. So we have opinions and they can change very, very quickly. I remember we're on to Cincinnati a couple of seasons ago with Bill Belichick and how quickly that turned around. So what do you think has been the biggest overreaction by maybe the mainstream media covering the Patriots after that week one loss?
I think actually it's a lot of sort of fingers being pointed at Rob Gronkowski and wondering, have we seen the end of the dominant Gronk? And look, he didn't have a great game, obviously. Four targets, two catches. Eric Berry got him on his own quite a bit and did a very, very good job on him. Berry's an all-pro player, so for starters, give credit to a great player for playing better than Gronkowski did that day. Also look at the simple fact that if he catches that ball in the end zone, or it's ruled a catch, because it was obviously on the field, it was ruled a catch and then it was overturned, how different everything looks. Then it's all of a sudden three catches, it's 50-something yards, it's a touchdown, and maybe the whole narrative around Rob Gronkowski changes in that game. So, I take a wait-and-see approach with Gronkowski. I mean, I think it's one of those things where we expect him to be super Gronk, and we have to remind ourselves that he's coming back off another back surgery, and maybe it's going to take him a little while to get up to speed. But, I would imagine this week in particular, the Saints don't do a very good job of covering tight ends. They don't have a player of Eric Berry's caliber that Gronkowski should have a big day. And if they target him a lot in this game and it doesn't happen, then maybe the conversation about Gronkowski not looking like he did, then maybe you might have a point and it's something to watch a little bit closer. But I'm not there yet.
Yeah, I'm certainly not there yet, and I'm not ready to rule him out. There was quite a few times as well in that game, watching it back, where there clearly could have been pass interference called and holding against on Rob Gronkowski against the Chiefs defense. So sometimes the defense gets away with them, and we'll see. I think this week is a prime opportunity for Gronk to have a big, big game, and obviously Eric Berry as well suffered season-ending injury in that game, so that was a big blow to the Chiefs. Looking down through players that possibly won't play this week for the Patriots, we're going to start off and look through players who have missed the majority or all of this week's practice sessions. And first up, we have Danny Amendola. He's obviously he played last week, but as you mentioned, they leaned on him quite a lot. And even back to his time with the Rams, anytime he got a huge workload, it really did affect him injury-wise. He has both a combination of a knee injury and a concussion. Linebacker Dante Hightower with a knee at this stage, it's unlikely. I think he'll play, but I'll get your opinion on that in a minute. The other one then is Matthew Slater, who's missed with a hamstring this week. Limited participation then, Adam Butler of the defensive line knee, offensive tackle Marcus Cannon shoulder, Nate Edber missed with a shoulder, Cameron Fleming ankle, Devin McCarty the safety missing with a groin injury, and then Vincent Valentine of the defensive line missing with a knee injury. So after even 1 week of the season, and then you throw in players like Edelman and Mitchell, who I've already mentioned, the Patriots are pretty banged up after the opening week of the season.
Yeah, very much so. And I remember having conversations about, when we were sitting there in the summertime talking about what can derail this team, and and their championship dreams. And I said, you know, and every team would say this, that has a chance, the health. And you go back to last year and you just think to yourself, I mean, I know the Gronkowski injury was a big injury and he missed half the year on the playoffs, but other than that, they were healthy. That was a healthy football team last year. Edelman was out there playing. They were able to manage Amendola snaps. Chris Ho, like, those guys didn't miss. The offensive line was together for the entire season. Allen, you know, like, all these guys, they played, and they played the lion's share of games. And all of a sudden, as you mentioned, you know, this year you go into it right away, it's Edelman, then it's Cyrus Jones, and it's, you know, because Cyrus Jones, people didn't love, but he was going to be a punt returner. He goes down. He's done for the year. That leads to Danny Amendola being the guy returning punts, and that's how he gets hurt in the game on Thursday. So, yeah, it's that's one of those concerning things. We often talk, too, about the idea that because they're so good, every year they're playing into late January or February. And that's, you know, Belichick says, oh, we're 5 weeks behind in terms of scouting and all those sorts of things in the offseason process. Well, for the players, it's the same thing. That's five more weeks of wear and tear of practice, wear and tear of the physicality of the games, and heartache to turn your body around. And, you know, if you're a Pats fan, you just hope that that's just not one of those things that's catching up to the team after, you know, two Super Bowls and an AFC championship, two in a row, actually. So four straight years of playing that late in the season. Losing Amendola is tough because I mentioned they're going to have three healthy receivers, including Philip Dorsett, who's now been here for, you know, a week and a half or whatever. So I'd anticipate more two back sets, getting, you know, guys like Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead more involved in the offense than they were in week one. Not having Hightower is critical, not just because of his versatility and overall ability, but communication wise, they struggled communication when he was in the game against the Chiefs because Van Noy was in the middle and Hightower was playing on the line of scrimmage and Van Noy was leaning on him quite a bit. And now he's not going to be out there, we assume, on Sunday. And that just puts more pressure on Van Noy and the rest of the guys to get the communication right. And this is a team that, you know, for all of the Saints' faults, offensively, they're going to hit you with a lot of different things. They're going to motion, shift, and communication is going to be critical. And that's got to concern Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia as they go into Sunday's game.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And looking then at the Saints and their injury report, their offensive line is the area of most concern for them. Teron Armstead with a shoulder injury did not participate this week so far, and then Zach Street with a knee injury. So they're both key tackle positions for the Saints, and their run game did struggle on Monday Night Football against the Vikings, and it's going to be interesting to see if they miss out how they suffer this week. They also had limited participation from Stephon Anthony at the linebacker position, defensive end Trey Hendrickson with an illness, and then Nate Stupper as well with a hamstring injury at the linebacker position. So they're pretty much the center of the offensive line, and the center of the defense have a few issues there heading into this week. The other key is with, you know, the extra time from Thursday Night Football until then, we're heading Saints played on Monday Night Football. There's a big disparity there in terms of the Patriots are coming off quite a long week, almost like a semi-bye week, and then the Saints are coming off a slightly short week this week. So that is a key area, and when we're going into these key matchups now, that I think will determine the factors for who wins this game. Is that there something that you think that is a big, big advantage here for the Patriots, even if they do travel on the road?
Yeah, I think that definitely benefits them. Just from being able to go back over the things that you did on that Thursday night that you liked, and you can reinforce that with your team, the things that you didn't, and whether or not that's something you want to press forward with. Obviously, Sean Payton and his staff, you know, pretty much, you know, flying in on Tuesday morning in the wee hours of the morning, and then really having to jump right on that train and get right back at it. And also, you know, even though it's not going to make a difference, it appears, with guys like Amendola, Slater, and Hightower, it gave some of the other Patriot players that were banged up a little bit more of an opportunity to heal up and be ready for Sunday. So I definitely think that's one of those things where, you know, you got a good coaching staff, they should be able to take advantage of that extra time.
Yeah, and if you're looking at, you know, players who are missing participation in practice here now on Thursday and Friday as we move into the game, well, if they played last Sunday, they would have already missed a week, so there'd be no chance of them playing. So it gives those few extra days, gives the body a little bit of a chance to recover as well. With both teams losing last week, obviously somebody's going to be 0-2 after this week, but both teams will be looking for that first win of the season. It's In my opinion, it's going to likely be New England, but we'll talk more about who we think is going to win in a little bit. But what do you think the key points of emphasis, and in this situation we'll look at the Patriots, what will the key points of emphasis on improving from that Thursday Night Football loss be?
I definitely think they want to be much better at stopping the run. You know, they talk about that. You know, you eliminate the run, you eliminate the potential for play action. We know what the Saints have done in terms of loading up at running back. They brought in Adrian Peterson on top of drafting Alvin Kamara, and you already had Mark Ingram in there. So that's, you know, Kamara is an exciting young back. Ingram's just been found for them, and Peterson's looking to prove that he's still an elite back. So I think take care of that. Don't let the Saints do to you what the Chiefs did. And look, then that, you know, puts more of the game on Drew Brees. And that's not necessarily the worst thing for the Saints, obviously, because Brees has been such a great passer over the years. But you always want to make a team as one-dimensional as possible. And that's, to me, that's part of really where it starts for the Patriots. And I think the flip side, same thing. Run the ball a little bit better than you did. You know, I know Gillislee had the 3 rushing touchdowns offensively, but there wasn't a lot of hay to be made in the run game for them. And Brady is one of the best play-action guys in the league. Get that thing going, take some pressure off that. You know, as I mentioned, you probably have to do some different things, maybe some pony sets with the 2 running backs because of your limitations at wide receiver right now, and just kind of get that in gear. And that'll just allow, you know, McDaniels and Brady more flexibility at the line of scrimmage to do some things that they weren't able to do against Kansas City.
Yeah, and then you mentioned the running backs, so we'll go straight into that. The Saints running backs and the Patriots running backs, I know obviously they're not going to face each other at any time in the game unless maybe they're in there on special teams and they come up against each other. But when we're looking through the opportunities here, neither had a real successful running game in the past week. But when you're looking at the opportunity, you mentioned already Adrian Peterson, Mark Ingram, and Alvin Kamara, and then with the Patriots, Rex Burkhead, who has been talked about possibly playing some wide receiver snaps this week. I'll be interested to see your take on that. And then obviously Lewis, White, and Gillislee. Who do you expect out of those two units to have the most success this Sunday? Out of those two, which do you think is going to be the key area to win there?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that one of, if you have some knocks on Sean Payton, well, for starters, not being able to put together a defense in this time as a head coach there. But to me, he just is so willingly goes away from the running game. And I thought he did that a bit the other night as well. I think that's a team that should be more committed to it. I mean, why are you spending the dollars and the draft pick assets on doing these things, re-signing Ingram to a nice extension, if you're not going to be a little bit more committed? He says it every year, I'm going to be more committed to the run. We're going to emphasize that more. And then it seems like you look up at the end of the game and they've thrown 45, 50 times. I know that, you know, Brady's had plenty of those days where he's thrown it a ton too, but that's very rarely the plan for them is to be one dimensional. Very rarely do they say, you know what, just chuck that. We're not even thinking about running. We're coming into the game. We're not thinking about running. They want to establish it. And I fully expect them to make a real strong effort to run the football. And that would lead you to believe that Gillislee would be the one that gets the most touches because he's essentially your first and second down back. I just wonder, again, if they spend more time in the 2-back sets, if they're going to want to spend more time having, you know, White and Lewis and Burkhead, you know, some of their smaller scat back guys that are more versatile receiving threats than, you know, just strictly putting Gillislee out there with James Devlin and trying to run it that way. I asked Burkhead specifically, you know, he had spent some time in the slot in Cincinnati. In fact, at one point, that's where they were playing because they were so loaded at running back before putting him back at running back. And he's like, oh, no, I'm a running back. I'm not a slot receiver. But I suspect we'll see every one of those guys that I just mentioned, the smaller ones, Lewis, White, and Rex, get some time as a receiver because I just think they have to figure out different ways and create some mismatches. And I think those guys are capable of doing that.
Yeah, and I think, it, you know, with somebody like Burkhead who's in there and he wants to get that opportunity, I think if he gets the opportunity to snap at slot receiver, he's not going to say, no thanks, Bill, I'll set this one out.
So, yeah.
The other thing was that Adrian Peterson has said today, and when he was talking to a beat reporter down in New Orleans, that he didn't sign up for 9 snaps. So already there's some tensions building up there in New Orleans between the coaching staff and Adrian Peterson, and I think it's Peterson's time to probably realize that he's not quite the player he was and he's not going to be the workhorse back that he used to be with Minnesota. But moving on then to the Patriots offense versus the Saints defense. The Saints defense didn't look much better than they did all of 2016, which was absolutely terrible in 2016. They were much, much the same this last week against the Vikings. Do you see them having any ability really to slow down the Patriots offense? You know, the Patriots did lose last week, but they did put up 27 points against the Kansas City Chiefs, who are a lot better on defense than if you're looking at this New Orleans Saints team. So this could turn into a kind of a track meet in the dome. Do you think they can contain the likes of, you know, Gronk, Hogan, Cooks, you know, in this match?
No, I don't. I'm still in the camp because of the, you know, the Edelman loss, and now not likely playing with Amendola. You really lose an important element, and that quickness underneath that they've thrived on, that Brady thrives on using over the course of time. So I think the offense is still a bit of a work in progress in that regard. And that said, they scored 27 points.
I think that's what people are overlooking.
Yeah. And 27 points through three quarters. And then the fourth quarter went sideways for them. So I just think when I look at that and I look at what the Saints bring to the table defensively, I would find it hard to believe that they keep the Patriots under 30 points in this game.
Yeah, and you mentioned as well, Sean Payton and his entire time down there has really struggled pretty much to have any form of a solid defense or even an average to above average defense throughout that time. So it's been a tough time. And Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs really did. And that kind of intermediate to long term last week really did tear them up really bad. Moving on now to the Patriots defense, the Saints offense. We're looking at, you know, there was some blown coverages there. There was some miscommunications, as you mentioned. What do you think Matt Patricia's role as defensive coordinator this week? You know, I mentioned the points of emphasis overall, but you mentioned stopping the run. Is there any other areas you expect them to try and shore up this week?
Yeah, you know what? I think they're going to spend a lot of time concentrating on Kobe Fleener. I think he's sort of, you know, he's not really a tight end. He's more of a big receiver, but, you know, they like to work him in line. They like to work him in the tight slot and try to create mismatches where, you know, they put him on a linebacker. I think the Patriots are going to have to be very aware of that and will be. I think they're going to treat him much in the same way that they treated Travis Kelce. A lot of eyes on Travis Kelce last week. And, you know, he wasn't the reason why they lost that football game. He didn't go crazy. It was a bunch of other guys. And I expect that Fleener will get a lot of attention from them. I don't think they want to get themselves in a scenario in which, you know, if they have one of their middle linebackers on the field, be it, you know, Van Noy or Landon Roberts or David Harris, and both of those guys barely played last week, that's something the Patriots are going to try to make sure they don't get schemed up and caught in that trick, because that's not a battle they're going to win very often with those guys. So look for safety, whether it be Pat Chung, Devin McCourty spent a little bit more time in the box last week, to be concentrating on Fleener and try to eliminate Fleener. They don't have a slot guy. At least they don't have their normal slot guy. Willie Smead is suspended for the first three games. So that's a bit of a break for the Patriots in that regard. And I think Fleener's trying to, you know, partly try to assume that role. And that's why I say Fleener's one of those guys you just got to make sure he's not beating you.
Yeah, we see that a lot with the Patriots, that, you know, they just say this particular player is not going to beat us this week. They'll double cover him or bracket him and just rule him basically completely out of the game. So we could see that with Fleener this week. It'll be interesting to see if that opens things up a little bit for Michael Thomas. And just as we move on towards the end here, is there anything that maybe we haven't touched on that you think is a key point for this game this weekend?
I think the Patriots weren't really satisfied with the way they performed in special teams. And you saw that in terms of the couple running into the kickers, that ended up getting Amendola hurt, because they ended up punting, was it three times in a row or four times in a row? And he eventually got the concussion on one of them and also injured his knee. I think they take so much pride in that. They made some, you know, moves just prior to right around the cutdown day to bring in some guys that are primarily special teams guys, because Ebner had been hurt and they figured Slater wasn't going to be able to go this week. And I just think that's such a huge point of emphasis for them. They felt like they lost that battle on Thursday night, and Bill is going to make sure they don't lose it again this week.
Yeah, and as we wrap up now, obviously I'll get a prediction for the game. I think that's going to be fascinating. And, you know, I mentioned already one of these teams is to be 0-2 after this week. I don't think it's going to be the Patriots. I think it's going to be the New Orleans Saints. Just there's always so many positives preseason about the Saints, and then when it comes to the season, things start to fall apart pretty quickly. And we've seen over the last few years, you know, they've been around 500 each and every year, and they're probably going to be around the same again. I expect extra time to be a big advantage, and I think Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia and so on are going to get a huge advantage of that. And I expect, you know, as I mentioned, 27 points for the Patriots in those three quarters. I think people are overlooking that. I expect them to put up points rather easy here on the New Orleans Saints and expect the Saints then to probably fight their way back into it towards the end. But I think the Patriots won this one probably 34-24. Do you think the Patriots win comfortably on the road? How do you see this one turn out?
Yeah, I'm kind of in your camp there. I think they're in the 30s, 34, 37 in that range. Look, I think New Orleans is going to get the points. They struggled in the red zone. So I'm sure they, you know, last week they were in there five times and only scored a couple touchdowns. I'm sure they put some extra emphasis on that this week. But, you know, I see 24 or 27 in that regard. And, yeah, Patriots by 7 points to a touchdown.
Yeah, and I think when we're sitting here after the game's over, we'll be saying, when you talked about Rob Gronkowski at the start, that there will no longer be an opinion in somebody's mind, because I expect him to have quite a nice game here against this Saints defense. So, Mike, it's been an absolute pleasure. The listeners should be following you on Twitter at Mike Giardi, and follow all the great work he does up there with the Patriots and CSN New England. Mike, it's been a pleasure.
This is mine as well. Take care.
Was Mike Giardi of CSN New England. An absolute pleasure having him on this show. Some very insightful little tidbits there that Mike was able to provide us with. In just a moment, I'm going to dive into what we talked about and look into this game more from a fantasy football perspective now, and give my thoughts on who maybe we should be playing this week in fantasy football out of these two teams. But before that, the NFL season is here. We're heading into week two, but it's still the perfect time to get yourself a RotoViz NFL pass, which you can get right now for 30% off. This discount is for listeners of the podcast only, and it is available through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of our NFL content and tools, and there is so much NFL content and, you know, so many awesome tools that I just love on rotoviz.com. And best of all, it supports the pod. So head on over, get your 30% discount for listening to the RotoViz podcast channel, and that is at rotoviz.com/podcast. Mike provided a lot of interesting information there as we talked through it with him. One of the key things, I think, though, as I mentioned there, is the extra rest the Patriots have this week. I think it's going to be a huge advantage as they head into this contest. It's also, you know, we talk preseason about who's going to get off to that fast start, who's going to get off to a very, very slow start. If you start 0-2, it's a tough way back until you make it to the playoffs. So I think it's going to be a key one here for both teams, but I expect the Patriots at the end of the season to probably have in around 12 wins again, and I think the Saints, as I mentioned there when we talked to Mike, probably around 500. So you can do all you want on offense as the New Orleans Saints, but again, you have to have that little bit of balance, and unfortunately the Saints tend to really struggle defensively year on year. So I think the Patriots will win this one quite strongly, and I'm going to talk through my aspects now as we look into it from a fantasy football perspective. And with fantasy football comes fantasy football drafting, and I mentioned last week on the show as well, I had a few people contact me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland, and I jumped into a few leagues with them. If you are interested in drafting throughout the season, if you're interested in daily fantasy sports, well, there's weekly fantasy sports as well, a little bit of a twist on the daily game, and you can do that now with Draft. You can download their app. It is 1 week fantasy football, and you just pick your team in the normal snake draft format. So you are drafting, a bit like redraft, but then after you draft, it turns into that best ball or daily fantasy format. So no salary caps, real life snake draft, and just like you play with your friends, as I mentioned there, in a season long redraft league. You draft and it lasts for just 1 week. There is no management, just set it and forget it. So once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire, and Draft even takes care of those last minute injuries for you. Draft start every couple of minutes, and you can join one right now. Draft start from just $1, so there is one for everyone. For new players who sign up, if you use the code RVRadio and with your first deposit, you get one free entry into a draft. So maybe you sign up, maybe you contact me, and use that free entry to face off against me this week. I'm more than willing to jump aboard playdraft.com to play if I'm playing from my computer, but I have already downloaded the app, and you can find it in the App Store, you can find it in the Play Store. It is just Draft. That's all you have to search for. You get the Draft app, insert that code RVRadio, get that free entry, and see if you can make some cash this weekend. So let me know if you want to play at Overtime Ireland, and I'll jump in there with you for a league. So that is playdraft.com, and the code is RVRadio. So I'm going to try and talk about this game now and give you some insight into it and what I expect the players to have a nice role this week. So maybe we'll pick out some candidates that should be drafted in your playdraft lineup this coming week. Looking at it first and what I expect from this game, I expect it to be a shootout. I expect Tom Brady and Drew Brees to march both teams up and down the field, but I think the Patriots will be able to slow down the Saints, as I mentioned. I don't think the Saints will be able to slow down Tom Brady and company. Obviously, Danny Amendola unlikely to start this week, so that might affect how the Patriots do, but I still think with the weapons they have, I mentioned there, I expect Gronkowski to have a nice week, and we're going to be talking a little bit more in a minute about the individual players. The other one was that Brandon Cooks and Michael Thomas didn't really do a whole lot in week one, but I think both of them are strong bets to have big games this week. Cooks obviously heading back to New Orleans to face his old team. He did have 88 yards in the week one loss, but Tom Brady had a bit of an off night and the connection just wasn't there. Another week to work on that. I'm sure they'll try and get him involved early and often this week. For the Saints, Thomas just 8 targets, caught the ball 5 times, just 45 yards. So slow start to the season for both of them, but I think we're going to see both of them have a huge opportunity this week. As I mentioned, high scoring game coming up with MyBookie. It is, I think, the joint highest scoring game this week, along with the Packers at the Falcons. So this is a game that I expect to see those points racked up. Looking forward to the running backs, it's very hard to trust Adrian Peterson in this one. The committee approach that was taken last week by the Saints, it's one of those ones that I just want to see it shake out a little bit before I have confidence in starting with them. I own Mark Ingram in a lot of leagues. I'm a big Mark Ingram believer, and he had some nice carries and receptions towards the end of the game against the Vikings, but it's very hard to trust him heading into this one. But I do expect the opportunity to be there. If I was starting a running back, Adrian Peterson would definitely be my third option out of those three Saints backs. I think you pretty much can't start him this week under any circumstance. And Kamara then surprised me with the workload that he got in week one. But still, I would be putting Ingram as the top option to start there in that backfield. Then Kamara, then Peterson. But as I mentioned, I'd be leaving him out this week. If you're looking at the running backs then for the Patriots, you have Mike Gillisley, who was in on pretty much every goal line and short yardage situation last week. The concern for me was that he could stop twice on fourth down, so that there might affect him this week. But again, he did get in the end zone 3 times in week one. I think he'll still get that goal line work. Offensively, Josh McDaniels seems to like Rex Burkhead and James White kind of a little bit more between the 20s, but then, you know, you want to be getting that red zone work. I think Gillisley looks like he is more in that LeGarrette Blount role from last season, where Blount put in, I think it was in the end, up 16 or 18 touchdowns overall for the season. So Gillisley's going to be touchdown dependent, but I think in this game he will have a couple of opportunities to get those touchdowns. And with the Patriots throughout the season, there's always those pass interference calls in the end zone. You get the ball at the one and they can be punched in. So otherwise, you know, I think this week James White has that PPR role. Rex Burkhead, there is talk, I mentioned, with Mike of him playing in the slot this week. So we'll see if that happens. But James White, I think, and then you have obviously Gillisley are the two favourable matchups there for the Patriots RBs. I wouldn't be starting Burkhead or Lewis unless you're in a real sticky situation this week. Then at wide receiver, I mentioned Amendola unlikely to play. But if you're looking at the Saints side of things, you have Ted Ginn, Michael Thomas. Willie Snead is suspended there, as Mike mentioned. So Michael Thomas, he's likely to probably draw some bracket coverage, you know, and there's the opportunity there for Stephon Gilmore, Malcolm Butler, or Eric Rowe to be, you know, in coverage against him. So there is the potential there for Thomas to have a big game. I think he will still get his targets this week, get his yards this week, but we'll just see. I think there'll be a cap on what he can do against this New England Patriots defense. Then Ted Ginn, I think they're going to be well aware after getting burned last week. When you talk about the blow-in coverages, you'll be obviously talking about that Tyreek Hill long touchdown. And Ted Ginn is a player that plays in that similar sort of role. He is a deep threat. And, you know, if you're playing in a league where you really do need to rack up those points and, you know, you need to have an outlier performance somewhere, Ted Ginn could have the possibility of that long touchdown for you. But this week, against this Patriots defense that I expect to improve, I am sitting Teddy Ginn. On the Patriots side, obviously, Brandon Cooks heading back to New Orleans. Playing indoors, I always think playing indoors in that dome suits him down to a T. You are starting him this week, there's no doubt about it. Where you drafted him, you are starting him. I think that's pretty comfortable to say. Don't overthink it, just slot him in your lineup. We'll see what happens as the game progresses, but I think he'll have a nice game this week. My, though, value play of the week, and this is the guy that I'll be targeting in all my draft leagues, is Chris Hogan. Hogan was in the field last week for 73 snaps, but only got 5 targets. He did only catch one pass for 8 yards, but Hogan is a player this week that I am extremely excited to see what happens. He had a 14% market share last week, which mightn't sound like a lot, but then if you take Amendola out of it as well, he's going to have a little boost in that this week. Those 5 targets did have an average depth of target of 20.5 yards, 20.6 yards to be correct, and 103 air yards over those five targets. So if he comes down with some of those passes and a few of them, we're pretty close against the Kansas City Chiefs. I think this week he's going to have more than a chance to come pretty close to those balls. And if he gets five targets and he's averaging over 20 yards of an average depth of target, I think this week is going to be a big, big week for Chris Hogan. I expect him to eat in a big way. And if I have Hogan in any leagues, he is an automatic start this week. And if I have the opportunity to draft him in any of my draft leagues this week, he is the one that I am targeting in this Patriots offense, and that he is my star player of the week this week in this game from a fantasy football perspective. I'm looking forward to see how he does in week two. And I do think you can get the value on him, because I think, you know, after that poor performance last week, not a poor performance, but one catch of 8 yards, he did add three rushes for 17 yards as well in the game. But I think people, you know, there was a lot of, you know, people talking about Chris Hogan in the absence of Edelman heading into week one. Now maybe that buzz has died down a little bit. In fact, I know it has died down quite considerably, and I think in week two you can snap up and take advantage of that. And I should have mentioned before I started talking about the air yards that there is from airyards.com on the RotoViz app. It is the air yard screener up on rotoviz.com, so check that out, one of my favorite apps up there. And that of course with Josh Hermsmeyer as well, the creator of airyards.com. The Patriots obviously have the huge advantage too of going up against the Saints defense. Just not a good defense. I've mentioned it a couple of times in the podcast. Adam Thielen, 9 catches, 157 yards in that game. And then Stephon Diggs, he had 7 catches for 93 yards and 2 touchdowns. So they pretty much did whatever they wanted last week. And I expect that to continue much in the same vein for the trio of Brandon Cooks, Rob Gronkowski, and my man Chris Hogan. Then when we look at the rest of the players in this game, I expect Rob Gronkowski to have a nice game. You know, people talk about, as we mentioned there, maybe Gronk's done, maybe this is the end of it. It's not the end of it, and he is not done, and we'll know come Sunday night that he is really and truly back and going. Gronk just dominates in the red zone, out of the red zone, as a tight end. There is nobody who can do what he does. Nobody in NFL history, I don't think, has done what he does. If he continues to do what he's done over his career for the next 1 to 2 years, I think he'll go down in history as the best tight end ever to play the game. So Gronk, this week you're starting him. You're not thinking about it. He's in your lineup, and you're rolling with it. Dwayne Allen, unless you're in really, really deep leagues, is not worth really even rostering right at this moment in time. Kobe Fleener, as Mike mentioned there, he expects him to be the player who gets bracketed and a lot of coverage rolling his way. He had 6 targets in week one, 5 catches, caught a touchdown. So he had a nice week in week one. But I think I'm not a Kobe Fleener fan. I'm not a Kobe Fleener guy. And you'll see this week, I expect him still to get those targets, probably in the 8 to 10 target range, because I do expect him to be playing from behind. But I do expect him to have a tough outing, probably finish, you know, in that top 15 to tight ends in the NFL. And, you know, if he gets that touchdown, pushes him up into the top 10. Tight end is such a touchdown dependent position. But this week, Gronk obviously is a candidate that nobody needs to say that he's going to do well, but I think he's going to do fantastic. But Chris Hogan, as I mentioned, is my play of the week this week in the Saints versus the Patriots in week two. So that's going to bring us to the end of today's Fantasy Football Beat podcast. I hope you've been enjoying the series so far. This is the second episode. Last week we looked at the Cowboys and the Giants. This week, as it obviously was, the Saints and the Patriots. Looking forward to bringing you this throughout the season, talking to beat writers as we move forward. My name's Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Hopefully you have a good week too. Good luck to all those teams out there. For the MyBookie promo code, it is RotoBeat for that 100% extra bonus. And for draft, it is RV Radio. So sign up, let me know. And again, for that MyBookie one, send the confirmation over to rotovizradio@gmail.com and get entered into that draw for some RotoViz merch. So until I'm back again with the show next week, have a good one. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Beat, a RotoViz podcast. Please rate and review the RotoViz podcast channel on iTunes or your favourite podcast app. Contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at @RotovizRadio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.